First up, what actually is a drug? I asked drug researcher and presenter of the podcast Say Why to Drugs, Dr. Susie Gage, to take me through the basics.
The World Health Organization defines psychoactive substances as substances that affect mental processes, for example, cognition or affect. So they affect sort of your ability to think or your mood.
How about legal drugs? There's lots and lots of legal drugs, which I'm assuming must affect your brain, things with depression and anxiety. Where do they fit into all of this?
Well, there are plenty of legal drugs that are used recreationally. So tobacco, alcohol and caffeine, they're all psychoactive substances. They're all legal, although regulated to a certain extent. Perhaps not caffeine, but certainly alcohol and cigarettes. But they do have these psychoactive effects as well.
When we're talking about the difference between illegal and recreational drugs, it's based on policy and where a line falls.
Oh, in terms of the legality, yeah, it's partly evidence-based. There's a lot of it is to do with sort of the history of the substance in the particular country. So, like, it's not as sort of simple as saying, well, these drugs are legal because of this and these drugs are illegal because of that. There's sort of the blurring of the boundaries makes it really quite a difficult thing to quantify.
And when thinking of harm or possible good as well, that's not necessarily as fine a line of these ones are legal and they will do you good and these ones are illegal and they will do you harm.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the two substances that are the most harmful at a population level in the UK are most certainly tobacco and alcohol. And this may be because they're legal and they're much more widely used than some other recreational substances. But it could also be that, and it certainly seems like it might be, that they are particularly sort of dangerous.
So that's really surprising when we think about, I don't know how I might come across the drugs. I would just be like, well, I'm allowed that one. It can't be that bad for me.
Yeah, absolutely. It's very misleading for someone trying to make sort of informed choices about what they put into themselves.
Yeah. And when we talk about informed choices and what they put into themselves, how do some of these drugs, specifically the illegal recreational drugs, how are they working in the brain? Or are they all doing the same thing?
No, they're definitely not all doing the same thing. There are lots of different sort of types of recreational drugs. So some are stimulants and they'll sort of increase the sort of bodily function. So they'll raise heart rate, they'll raise blood pressure, they might speed up metabolism, that sort of thing. Some are depressants and so have the sort of opposite effect, or analgesics sort of have a sort of pain-killing effect. Some are psychedelics and have a kind of perception altering effect. And so they all work on the brain in different ways. But for the most part, this is due to their impact on neurotransmitters in the brain. So the things that get messages between neurons. And there are various different neurotransmitters and neurotransmitter circuits in the brain. And so some drugs will affect some of them and some will affect others. Some will sort of augment the processes of neurotransmission. Some will inhibit the processes of neurotransmission. So they all have quite different effects, but ultimately they're all affecting, for the most part, these sort of neurotransmitters.
So these neurotransmitters act as messengers, carrying information from one brain cell or neuron to the next. And when they get there, they match up with their complementary receptor, a bit like pieces of a puzzle. But what's really interesting here is that drug molecules can hijack the system and pretend to be natural neurotransmitters. This works because many of them just happen to be the perfect shape to fit with specific receptors.
We have a system in the brain called the endocannabinoid system, and surprisingly enough, certain sort of molecules or substances in cannabis bind to the endocannabinoid system. Who'd have thought? Why we've developed this in our brains is maybe up for debate, but we've got nicotine receptors in our brain, opiates and that kind of thing. These are all systems that are in our brain already.
How certain drugs came to fit so perfectly with receptors in our brain is certainly a bit of a puzzle. We do produce natural molecules that also fit to these receptors, so some people have put it down to coincidence. But there are also theories that maybe something else was going on.
Well, it's certainly the case that humans have been using drugs for an extremely long time, or certainly the sort of historical evidence seems to back that up, as well as the kind of suggestion that our brains seem particularly able to respond to these kind of substances. And you can see sort of evolutionarily why it might be advantageous. Like if you are chewing on a leaf and it just helps you concentrate that little bit more, maybe you're more likely to have a successful hunt and you're more likely to eat that night.
That was Bristol University's Susie Gage. And Georgia, I find the idea that we could have evolved alongside drugs just so interesting.
Yeah, it's not something you'd really expect. But later on in the programme, I'll be looking at how our relationship with drugs did first begin. But before that, we'll be investigating how some of the most infamous drugs work and what they actually do in your brain. First up, it's marijuana.